night, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast NBA Podcast. My name is Keith, here alone for a solo interview episode. The full episode with Chuck and John will be back next week. If you haven't heard this week's full episode, it is a hoot. Go ahead and turn this one off. Look that one up. Listen to that. And then come back here. We talked about all the crazy stuff that has happened in the last week. The weird escalating conflicts across the NBA. It was a lot of fun to record during a Nashville snowstorm. And yes, you fancy Northerners, a Nashville snowstorm is just a few inches, but it was enough to shut our city down. Speaking of Nashville, if you are in the greater Nashville area this weekend on Saturday, January 20th, we are hosting a watch party for the Grizzlies-Pelicans game at 6 p.m. at Double Dogs Sylvan Heights. Unfortunately, Tony Allen probably won't be playing. That's what we had in mind. But we will be giving away some Tony Allen pepper grinders, Grindfather pepper grinders, among other more current Grizzlies giveaways. So if you're in the Nashville area, come hang out with us at Double Dogs Sylvan Heights Saturday, January 20th, 6 p.m., Double Dog, Sylvan Heights. Today's episode also ended up talking mainly about those fights in the NBA, but from a slightly different angle with our guests, so hopefully you will enjoy it. Before we get to the interview, I want to remind you, if you want more John and Chuck and more Fast Break Breakfast overall, you can get that at patreon.com/fastbreakbreakfast. There you can get exclusive bonus content. You can join the $3 a month listener Slack. Our listener fantasy leagues have been heating up over at fantrax.com. And if you missed out on those fantasy leagues this year, I want to tell you about my new personal addiction, Draft. Since I first downloaded the Draft app maybe a week ago, I have played it every day. It is a blast. I even won a game over against some Locked On Lakers group. You know, I showed them where the true knowledge was. It's awesome. Very simply, it's daily fantasy, but you're just playing against your buddies if you want. And it's a snake draft. There's no salary caps to worry about. It's just a snake draft. You can do it daily. You can do the standard or the expert, which I love, where it takes out all the best players. It's kind of hilarious. I've been playing against our listeners. If you want to use our code, FASTBREAK, you will get a free $3 entry into any money game. You can go to the Android store, the iTunes store, or just go to draft.com/fastbreak. Remember, use our code FASTBREAK. We'll all play together. Again, I'm on there as FASTBREAK Breakfast. Follow me. I'll get you in my private games that I'm doing for our listeners. I can't recommend it enough. It's a lot of fun. So get that Draft app. Once again, draft.com/fastbreak. My guest today is a writer for SB Nation and The Athletic Toronto. Also has appeared lots of places, Bleacher Report, Vice, and The Step Back. CBS Sports NBA recently said she had the tweet of the year, and she's a return guest, Sirit Sohi. Sirit, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing really good. This is like the ninth time we tried to call just now. That's a behind-the-scenes look for our listeners. Our Skype did not work, so we had to try something else, but hopefully this will work out.
Yeah, we run into some pretty fun technical difficulties there, but hopefully we're sailing smooth from here.
Yeah, it was very reminiscent of any time I have to Skype my co-host, John, who is terrible at Skype. It's always user error.
Like FaceTiming your parents.
right. Or my three-year-old who likes to press the red button and then gets upset when it hangs up.
Just mashing all over the keys.
Right. So considering the level of aggression in the NBA right now, what is your personal level of aggression, would you say?
You know, I think this has actually kind of had the opposite effect on everybody covering the NBA, because we should essentially kind of have the same sort of cabin fever doldrums or whatever is going on with the players to make them like this. But the thing is, we've actually just been given so much entertainment that I feel like it's given us some new life and there's not as much frustration. There's things to like laugh about and talk about. Whereas usually or this time of the year, teams are settling in, you figure it out like who's a major contender, and it's more about figuring out like, okay, like this is what team A has to do to eventually become a little bit more perfect and whatnot. And it's kind of boring up until All-Star. So it's been nice. I think it's actually had the opposite effect on us.
So it's like it's chilled you out a little bit.
Yeah, it is. So I was on the locker room and I was in the media room at the ACC, and man, like I was out for blood, but then that happened and I just feel so much better.
are we being too callous? I saw someone taking the angle like, guys, this is fighting. We shouldn't be encouraged fighting. These are grown men. We should not be like having so much enjoyment about their interactions.
Whatever. Like it's all, they're all just doing like hold me back crap. Other than Aflalo, who I'm very happy that punch did not connect because that could have been ugly. But I mean, it was kind of just the Houston incident is I think what most people really, really hung on to. And I mean, it's just kind of fun beef. Like they weren't really actually fighting. It seems like in the official story is, if you believe it, was basically like, you know, they exchanged some barbs and there was some tough guy stuff, but nothing actually happened. And that's kind of what you can expect from these fights. Like it was all kind of like, I don't know, like maybe Mike D'Antoni's shoulder kind of hurts today. Who knows? But and I'm not going to say that, you know, our behavior is problematic or somehow,
yeah,
or something like that.
If I can't find entertainment from the ridiculous altercations between these millionaires, I mean, what even is the point? But before we get into more of it, I would be remiss. I have not asked you about your breakfast. I don't want people adding me on Twitter, telling me I forgot the breakfast question. So Sirit, have you had breakfast, or what's the last good breakfast you had?
I've kind of developed a good breakfast routine now. I just, ever since moving to Toronto, first, like I didn't really have anything. Then I went back home for the holidays and, you know, I brought a whole bunch of stuff back, like just pots and pans and whatnot. So I'm pretty much just settled into a routine of like, scrambled eggs, bacon, and, you know, if I'm feeling fancy, some sauteed mushrooms, which have quickly become my favorite like food since I've moved. I never really used to like mushrooms, but they are delicious when I make them, I think.
I love a mushroom. Are you saying you have a daily routine though? Are you a bacon eggs every day kind of farmer style?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say so. That's kind of, I've always been the same way with breakfast, I think. You know, it'll change like on a month to month basis, but that's kind of what I'm settled at. It's nice to just wake up and not really have to think about it, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, this is what I'm doing.
No, I mean, bacon and eggs, that's almost steak and eggs, which we call the best breakfast. How is Toronto since moving there?
Oh, it's great. It's great. I mean, the weather is horrible, but other than that, I mean, the food is amazing. It's nice to actually be in a real city, sorry if anybody from Edmonton is listening to this. I love you.
I don't know how.
I highly doubt that will happen.
Yeah, I don't know how big our listenership in Edmonton is.
but no, it's great, and the food is amazing. I love being in an NBA city where, you know, you're really just going in every day, covering the team, checking out like whoever the road action is, and that's always great too because the locker room's pretty much empty, so you can kind of just go in and talk to whoever. So, although the media presence is a little bit higher in Toronto than people would think, just because like it is like Toronto is a media hub for Canada, so mm-hmm. there are definitely like a lot more outlets in the ACC than some would expect, but still it's nice being in that road locker room. And obviously it's nice to cover the Raptors, especially right now. They're just, you know, so many good storylines with how they've changed their offense, and you know, just a cultural shift and everything that's going on with that. I thought it was going to be kind of a boring year to be covering them. Like, it's kind of like, you know,
right,
this is what the team is, but they've managed to really change, and that's been exciting to cover.
Well, that certainly is. The Raptors are interesting on the court, but I'm more interested in this off the court. All the fights we've been talking about, it kind of started though, with, I feel like this spate of on-court incidents started a little bit with Serge Ibaka of the Raptors against James Johnson. That showdown, we've been arguing on our show about it. What was your take on that showdown, and did you think there was a winner?
I think James Johnson probably wins that in that altercation just by sheer, like, wow, I am really spacing here. I'm a writer. That's how I make money, by the way. And I forgot. Intimidation.
Uh-huh.
Intimidation. Because you could kind of tell that, you know, Serge was getting after it. And then as soon as he kind of saw who it was, who he was up against, he was like, oh, you kind of sense like a body language shift of, oh, maybe this is not the best idea. Maybe this isn't the guy I should be trying to fight because he probably will actually fight me.
I think it was back in the day that Tyler Hansbrough, I think, did a similar thing where he was about to turn around and fight someone. I think he saw it was James Johnson, and he quickly did like a butt pat, you know, like, hey, buddy, it's cool.
We're good.
Yeah.
Good heart valve.
We were arguing. Well, I heard the argument that James Johnson's punches looked a little undisciplined, and some were saying, not me, I'm no fight expert. Some were saying that maybe he's living too much on reputation, and that they thought Serge should have gone for it. They were pretty disappointed in James's performance.
Well, isn't James supposed to be like an MMA expert?
Exactly. He's supposedly undefeated in either MMA or kickboxing, and he has these black belts. But based on the couple, like, sort of, and they were half-hearted punches thrown, it was like, maybe it's a lot of reputation. Maybe it's all talk. I hope James Johnson doesn't hear this.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, I totally do not think that. I haven't really gone back and like looked at the whole thing in, you know, slow-mo. And even if I did, I wouldn't really know the next thing about what a good punch looks like. I pretty much all my knowledge is, you know, from movies. So, you know, if there's some experts out there that say that might be the case, I think, you know, I don't hate the experts. I support the experts.
Let's just take it for take our word for it. Experts have said the punches were undisciplined. So then the main event, the Rockets, the Clippers game, a very testy game. You mentioned the official story, if you believe it. You said that earlier. I, for one, don't believe it. When all of a sudden the news came out that, like, multiple witnesses and everyone's stories are corroborating that James Harden and Chris Paul were peacemakers, I don't believe that for one second. What say you?
Yeah, I tend to not, because, well, here's the thing, right? The way that this theory works in my head is that the official theory, the way that I think it probably went down, if it happened, is Ariza, who was the most mad person on the court, so that kind of, you know, that kind of makes sense that he would be the most upset in the locker room too, went after Austin Rivers, and Ariza also played in LA.
Mm-hmm.
So he would know about the secret tunnel.
It's true.
And Chris Paul, sensing what was about to happen, was like, oh no, I better also go down this secret tunnel that, you know, having played in LA, I know about as well. And then James Harden follows him as backup. It was James Harden. I don't know. Like, maybe I don't know what the speed was. I don't know how far James Harden is into his recovery. I hope he didn't somehow re-aggravate anything. And, you know, that's kind of why it was the three of them. And then you can kind of believe that case. And it does make sense, except what the hell is Clint Capella / Tariq Black doing? Tariq Black, who also played for the Lakers,
exactly,
and should have known about the secret tunnel. What is he doing at the front entrance? Like, what is that about? Like, I don't think neither Clint or Tariq are like super tight with anybody on Clippers. I guess maybe Tariq could be, having, you know, been in LA. But, you know, after a game like that, you kind of think, you know what, maybe I'll text whoever it is that I'm trying to talk to after. Like, there was just no reason for them to be there, which makes me think that there was something else going on. And just the way that things were going the night of, what it seemed like was happening, versus like the change after everybody had a chance to discuss amongst each other what they were going to say.
Right, get their story straight.
Like, it kind of seemed like there's just the differences are a little bit too much for me to really think that the whole story is true.
I've seen enough Law and Orders where everyone's like, oh, Clint Capela was in the locker room, and then they get on the stand, and then they're about to get in front of the jury, and then last second, a witness changes it up, and it's like, oh, it was Tariq Black. And then the prosecutor's like, Your Honor, we already had, and you know, the deposition said this, and they changed it, and then, you know, they got to throw the case out. This feels like a classic case of, I'm going to switch it up at the end just to make sure nobody gets in trouble. And same with the Blake and Chris Paul, like, obviously the biggest name guys. The suspensions were handed out. Those guys got nothing. And then everybody gets their story straight. Like, oh no, they were peacemakers. That's a classic.
Blake especially should have gotten a suspension or something, because I mean, he shoved or, you know, accidentally ran into D'Antoni, which was definitely not an accident.
Right.
And I mean, you just can't do that. When was the last time that happened?
It would
in
have
front
been.
Of cameras during a game, a national TV game, by the way, and nothing happened. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that gets, you know, brushed under the rug when something like what happened after happens, but that didn't really seem like that should be one of the things. It was just kind of like, I thought that was sort of self-evident, you know.
If Draymond Green or DeMarcus Cousins runs into Mike D'Antoni, what kind of suspension do you think we're looking at? Like 20 games? A half season?
Well, I think with Draymond, they should just save it till the finals, right? But,
yeah.
I mean, that's the thing, right? If anybody like that was involved in any of this, it would have just... That's kind of when it kind of maybe would have stopped being as funny, right? Yeah. Like, then you started thinking, like, oh, okay. Like, cause, like, part of the humor was kind of the fact that nobody that you would actually think is a fighter or anything like that was involved in what happened. I think that kind of added humor to the situation. It was like... It was three stars and then a bunch of guys that you never really associate with that. Like, I mean, the one guy in Houston's locker room, PJ Tucker, that you would think would kind of be at the forefront of all of this was like not even mentioned.
Right. I think he was probably like, you guys, this is ridiculous. I'm obviously not going to get involved. You know, like he clearly knew
it
was joking.
Was like, come on.
He's like, let's go to the locker room. He's like, nah, I'm good. This is stupid. Like,
yeah, call me when you have a real fight.
I would hope right now Mike D'Antoni is taking some flopping lessons from Chris Paul and James Harden. Because if D'Antoni had wiped out and like hit the floor, then we would have had a real incident. Like that would have been pretty good.
Well, yeah, that's the problem, right? Like he's not as well versed in that sort of thing as the other two are.
Yeah.
And maybe the tenor of the game would have shifted. Even like, let's say Blake gets thrown out earlier and, you know, they're able to not to come back. I mean, that's why you flop, right? You gotta take the edges you can get.
And another thing that bugged me, and this is coming from me as a Memphis Grizzlies fan who really dislikes Blake Griffin. Blake Griffin has a history of violent incidents. Like, he was suspended by the team, you know, for punching that trainer last year. He's run into a coach before on the sidelines. So that again threw up the red flags. Like, come on, NBA. Like, what does it take? What does it take to get these guys? Yeah. Like, why aren't they suspended? Like, this guy has, I mean, priors as in prior NBA stuff. He has no off the court priors. We're not talking about real things, but like, again, for having some of my least favorite players be so notably involved and then get totally off the hook kind of bummed me out. So, who are some of your, like, all-time, or just, let's say current, who are some of your current least favorite NBA players?
Well, I think anybody who follows me knows that the top of my list there is Russell Westbrook, and
yeah,
probably just, I mean, part of it is just because of how much acclaim he gets. I just think that, not to sound like too much of a purist, but I kind of have the typical Russell Westbrook complaints. I don't really think he plays the right brand of basketball. I think he's stat padding all the time, which I just don't like at all. Like, when you're out there playing for the wrong reasons, I just sound like such a talking radio host right now.
Yeah.
That's kind of, yeah, Westbrook is probably on the top of the list for me. I just find a lot of the way that he acts is kind of like, it's kind of like the worst of like what people think millennials act like, which is, I think, why it makes me mad. It's like, oh, petty, you get him. And it's all so self-serving. And it's just, I don't know, it rubs me the wrong way. So he is probably on the top of my list. But that said, I mean, there have been some good Westbrook seasons. I used to defend Westbrook a lot when he played with Durant. I just think it was mostly last season. It was just like, I don't know, it was just too much. It was over the top. And I wasn't a big fan, and it's kind of carried over into the season, which kind of makes it worse because he actually has much better teammates now. And anyway, this version of Westbrook is probably on the top of my list. I don't have too many, like, I was thinking about this. I don't have too many NBA players that I really hate. Like, the typical, like, I think Harden's a typical guy that a lot of people don't really like, and I've always been a pretty big Harden fan. So I've never hated too many NBA players. I think I look for silver linings for the most part. Like, I really like Blake. No, I'm just naming people who were involved in this incident. I guess I don't really like Chris Paul that much. I mean, I like the way he's a great point guard, and
you did. I mean, officially, we didn't.
I mean, I kind of roasted him, but
yeah, we didn't. I'll go ahead and read your tweet. You tweeted, "Congratulations to Chris Paul on actually leading a team somewhere," which blew up a bit. You certainly ethered him. I really dislike Chris Paul, but, like, you know, obviously just for on the court stuff. And so I took a lot of glee in that tweet.
Right.
When that tweet blows up, I've never had a tweet go that big. Do you just have to kind of, like, turn your phone off totally? Or do you just mute that one thing? Or do you just try to, like, let it wash over you and bask in the goodness of your tweet?
Well, I've never had a tweet go that viral before either. So I was actually, like, I was taken completely by surprise. So what happened was, first my app just crashed. Like, I couldn't get back on. And it was the worst night for that to happen because, you know, every time you refresh your phone, something more hilarious happened. I really, like, if there ever was a time to really want to be on Twitter as an NBA fan, it was either that or, like, the DeAndre incident. So I was just like, man, like, come on, let me get back on here. So, like, that kind of went on for a while. I just kept trying to open it, and, like, immediately it would stop working. And then my phone started heating up, and I was in bed, and, like, I felt like it would just be a little bit too much to go back to my laptop and get it out. Like, it was pretty late at night. I'm in the East Coast. I was like, just don't play into your worst tendencies right now. So I let it sit for a little while, and I was like, okay, like, whatever, I'll just go to sleep. But obviously it wouldn't stop vibrating because I couldn't get it. Like, I would have muted it, but I couldn't get into mute.
That's pretty funny.
And then I had the bright idea of going on, like, Safari on my phone and going on, like, twitter.com. So that's what I did. And then I muted it, and still, for some reason, my app was still being, like, pretty bad for a little while, and my phone was kind of, like, you know, up and down. But it really relaxed after that, and it was more so just, like, I knew that it was continuing to blow up, but I would just check every so often and be like, okay, like, now it's at this number, now it's at this number, and whatnot, and just check my verified to see, like, you know, if anybody if anybody's super cool or important
right,
retweeted it or whatever. But then after that, it didn't affect my life too much after that, other than, you know, just hearing about people started congratulating me, which I thought was super weird, just because it's, like, it's a tweet. Like, I just feel like,
yeah,
there's, like, this inner dread that comes over you when somebody congratulates you over a tweet. You're kind of just like, what is my life about?
Well, so you said that night, I think a lot of people have said it, that night was as much fun on NBA Twitter as the DeAndre Jordan night. Do you think the actual incident of, like, Chris Paul kind of throwing some shade at Blake Griffin, talking about needing to play through Lou Will, and then the tensions between them, where you're like, you know what, these guys, they don't actually probably like each other. Do you think this incident shed light on that past DeAndre Jordan free agent escapade? Like, he was a guy that maybe really disliked playing. He's like, Blake and Chris are so mean to each other, I don't want to be there. But then he got bullied to coming back.
That makes sense. And, you know, back to, like, the players we don't like thing. The thing that I, as much as, like, I admire Chris Paul's talent, and you know, he's an absolute assassin in certain moments, and, like, there's no denying that. But I think the thing I don't like is players that are control freaks. And that's just, like, and that's one of those things where, like, I love Curry so much because he has such a perfect balance of, like, that skill but still being able to cede control. But so, I mean, I've always thought about that about Chris. So for me, it was kind of like, that all just makes sense. I don't know if for me it shed any new light, because that's kind of what I always thought was going on. But I think certain people might have actually believed the idea that, you know, things weren't so bad in the locker room. I never really bought that, just because, I mean, the body language and the stuff that would come out and the way that they would lose their games, especially in that last season, it just always, like, little leaks and stuff like that, it just always felt like they're just trying to brush under the rug, and it is really bad. And this really confirms it for sure.
Yeah, I think it definitely confirms it. And now there was that one report, which I guess kind of went away already, that DeAndre Jordan wanted to get traded to the Rockets.
Right.
Which was like...
all part of the hilarity of that 24 hours, like all the wrong reports kind of made it more fun, because it initially started like Harden and Chris Paul got into a fight, which is what apparently, like, so, I think one of the reporters in Houston from Houston tweeted that after a security guard told her that. So, I mean, I don't know why that security guard did that, but then somehow Woj, who was not even in the building apparently, comes out with what's actually going on, which is just, I think Woj
makes the entire event. His tweets are so unintentionally hilarious. Like everything he says it so awkwardly. He kept misspelling, and he's like backdoor. He's like, I meant backdoor, obviously. Like everything he kept correcting just made it funnier and funnier. Like this guy has no, I don't think he's aware how hilarious his tweets come across.
Well, I think he's probably having a hard time with like language, because that kind of happened the next day too. It's like what to call the incident when like you have to kind of officially call it something. Because the next day he called it tomfoolery.
Yeah. Yeah. So one more incident before wrapping up. The Aflalo Bielitsa punch swing. Aflalo got suspended 2 games, which seems really, really light. Because if he'd connected, it seems like that was that could have been an ugly incident. Or if
that kind of goes from like 2 games to the rest of the season, right? Like just the fact that it didn't connect is.
Yeah. Well, I kind of think if it connected, there's actually a chance that Aflalo's arm might have exploded. After what would have happened, Bielitsa, he shot up my rankings of guys not to mess with. He treated
He treated
Aflalo like a child. He's like, oh, you're trying to punch me?
He knew exactly what to do.
Oh my goodness.
If nobody else was there, man. Like, oh, Bielitsa could have, like, he had him, like, he kind of just had him in that headlock, like, down low. Like, he could have walked around like that with him for the rest of the day if he wanted to.
I wonder what was going through Aflalo's head. Like, if he was like, oh, wow, I messed up. Or, like, thank goodness this is a basketball game. Because, really, like, he came at him like, I'm going to swing and hit this guy in the face. And within 2 seconds, he was immobilized. And
like, you should never call a European player soft. Like, you don't know.
That was crazy. And, like, I've watched Bielitsa for a while. I remember when I first saw him, like, in Eurobasket, being like, this guy's really cool. And all of a sudden, my eyes were open. We're like, this guy's arms are huge. Like, I had no idea. And he was just like, yeah, I'm holding this guy with one arm. And he was kind of holding him, and he was kind of acting like, I'm not trying. I'm trying to be peacemaker. That blew me away. That was one of my favorite plays of the year. I think Aflalo might... I don't know how Aflalo goes back to the gym after that. But, again, I'd lose a fight to anyone, I think. All right, well, hey, Surratt, last thing before I let you go. I want you to weigh in. This is nothing to do with aggression. I want you to weigh in, because we were again having a controversy between us, our co-hosts, and some of our listeners. You're familiar with the Jonathan Isaac story, where he gave a sermon, he was preaching at a church, and none of the Orlando Magic players showed up?
I did not know about that.
Oh, okay. Well, that's the entire story.
Okay.
He gave a sermon, apparently, I think a week ago. And he mentioned that none of his teammates showed up, but he had invited them.
Oh,
he later added to the fact, he added to the story, he didn't mean to call his teammates out. He was just pointing out that he felt bad that it became a minor story. it got brushed under the rug because of the big fight, you know, the Rockets Clippers. What is your immediate take on that? Because we had some people saying, like, I would not go to see a guy preach who I was like a coworker with. But so what's your take on that situation?
I think a thing like that is always indicative of how a team, like, the togetherness on a team, and, like, you know, to be fair, for their talent, the Magic do play very, very well together. But, I think, I mean, not to draw too many conclusions, again, this is the first time I've heard this story, but teammates don't necessarily have to be friends, but the chances of that are usually a little bit higher if you feel like you're going to be spending a lot of time together over the next few years. Like, for example, if you heard DeMar DeRozan on Woj's podcast saying that, you know, when Kyle first got to Toronto, they hardly talked, like he kind of just thought that he was passing through. So I think, you know, it could just be a situation of self-interest for everybody involved. Obviously, Jonathan Isaac is a rookie. He's probably imagining that he's going to be there for a while. But for a lot of vets on that team, they could just be thinking, like, I'm not really going to be here for a while. Therefore, I have no reason to really be investing in a lot of these relationships. And I'm reading Marcus Thompson's book, Golden, right now. It's about Steph Curry's rise. And, you know, for, I think, up until they went to the Olympics together, Steph and Klay weren't really tight at all. Like, they had the Splash Brothers thing going on just as like the moniker, but they kind of hardly ever talked. I mean, and you get it. It's Klay Thompson who's, you know, sliding in the DMs versus Steph Curry, who would have like very well gone to that sermon. So, you know, it makes sense. So I think, you know, it's not to say that they have the team is poor chemistry or anything like that. But when you do have like a sort of ragtag collection that, you know, really don't really know what's going to happen next season, that can kind of happen where, you know, you might not really be going out of your way to do things that you don't really feel like you have to.
That's a good measured take. I felt bad for the kid. But then I was like, maybe it was an early, maybe it was an early service.
Like, oh, he just invited everybody and like, show up. And maybe half the team was like, okay, somebody else will go. Therefore, I will not have to wake up and go to the sermon.
Exactly. That's what some of our Patreon supporters in our Slack chat were saying. Like, I wouldn't have gone, but I assume someone else would have gone.
Right. And it's like that Malcolm Gladwell thing where they're like, somebody will call 911.
Yeah. It's the problem. And also, I think, I don't know the details. Like, if it was a Facebook invite? Was it a personal text
to
everyone? Those are different.
Mm-hmm. What if you just like threw it in the group chat a couple days before and everybody already had plans?
Exactly. Threw it up on that the Magic subreddit. You know, maybe they didn't check it. Who knows? All right. Well, Sierra, thanks so much for coming on with me. Tell people what you got coming up next or where they can find your stuff.
Well, last week I wrote about the surging Miami Heat for the tip-off, which is my weekly column at SB Nation. And this week I will be writing about Manu Ginobili, and I will also have something coming out tomorrow on the Raptors and the benefits of diversity.
Sounds great. I read the Heat piece. I'm very interested in how the Heat are so good. It blows my mind. I don't know how they keep winning. So make sure you guys check that out and follow Sierra on Twitter so you get all those very funny tweets that might not be as big as the last one, but they're still very good. Well, Sierra, thanks so much again, and I look forward to talking with you again.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, thanks to Sierra for coming on. Make sure you follow her online and read her stuff. She's very funny on the internet. So check her stuff out. If you want to support our show, the best way is to do it at patreon.com/fastbreakbreakfast. Again, patreon.com/fastbreakbreakfast. That's where the true hardcore top fast break breakers are. I really appreciate the support. It's been pretty awesome, all you guys and gals who are doing that. Hey, download that Draft app. Use the code FASTBREAK. Again, draft.com/FASTBREAK. Play against me. It is so much fun. I am not joking. I have never used a Harry's shave kit because I have a big beard, but I do play Draft every day. Highly recommend draft.com/FASTBREAK. All right, you can follow me on Twitter at FASTBREAKBREAK. Like us on Facebook. All right, you guys are the best. Thanks for listening. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing.
Yeah, never apologize for being G&G. Fast break, man. You understand?